Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio, a place where like-minded people from across the country come to listen, share, and learn from topics that deal with their health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. You can participate by sharing your comments or questions from the Richer Life blog page or chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife or by using the phone to call in. Let's join the show.
Hello, I'm Charlotte Grant Cobb.
And I am Earl Cobb.
Welcome to another episode of our People Who Inspire Us series.
As we all know, inspirational people and inspirational thought provides energy and substance to our lives. Inspiration awakens us to new possibilities and transforms the way we perceive our own capabilities.
During this special series, we will share with you interviews with gifted authors and speakers who have messages that inspire a multitude of people from many walks of life.
And tonight, our focus is on the inspiring power of imagination.
Without imagination, our ability to blend ideas, to see things not as they are but as they might be, is greatly hindered. If we cannot imagine new possibilities, our ability to think creatively may become limited.
Tonight, we are excited to share an interview that we recorded earlier this month with Tucson resident Ann Anovich.
Ann is an inspiring author whose books inspire the imagination of the young and old alike. Ann is also a docent at Tohono O'Neill Park in Tucson, Arizona, where she makes up and creates her stories about the people, animals, and plants of the Sonoran Desert to tell to children and grown-ups who visit the park. She publishes her children's stories as a part of her Grandma Annie's Stories from the Garden series. She is also the author of Charlie's Tale, The Great Mystery, a short novel and unique tale about how a man named Charlie struggles to answer some timeless questions.
Well, let's listen to our interview with Ann. And then we'll talk some more about the inspiring power of imagination. Hello, Ann. Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio. As you know, during this series, we're talking about people who inspire us. And tonight's focus is on the inspiring power of imagination. As we all know, imagination is our ability to form a mental image of something that is not perceived through our five senses. Imagination makes it possible for all of us to experience a whole world inside our mind. In our imagination, any of us can travel anywhere in the speed of light without any obstacles. As an adult, a strong imagination can inspire us to take a situation or circumstance and transform it into something different, using only the power of our mind. In the case of children, experts say that imagining and experimenting can help develop critical thinking and foster creative problem solving. Now, Anne, at the beginning of each of the stories in your Grandma Annie's Stories from the Garden children's book series, you tell the parents, and I quote, "The story you are about to read to your little ones is designed to transport them into the wonderful world of imagination." So let's start our interview there. Would you share with our audience how you go about writing a story and orchestrating a set of illustrations that will transport young children into the world of imagination?
Well, first of all, Earl, I am a volunteer at Tohono O'Neill Park in Tucson, Arizona. And when I get to the park on Tuesday mornings, I look around and see what's happening. And if I see little ants on the ground, I make up a story about it. If I see lizards running around, I make up a story about it. My very first story had to do with a pony. The pony and the lizard. And it's called Cowboy Jose. When I wrote the story, I was thinking of the children. And in all my stories, there's something for them to learn. So we first started out with the lizard sitting in the sunshine the way they do to keep warm. And I explained to the children that the lizard does not have the same kind of blood that we do, that he can get too hot or too cold. And then the horse comes down the road, a very, very sad horse. And we find out that he's sad because none of the other horses like him, because he's different. Now, this is very important to the children, too. And I point out that they have different color hair, and they are taller or shorter than each other, and they have different names, and they're wearing different colored shirts. And we continue to read about the horse and the lizard and how the lizard becomes the friend of the horse, even though he is different. And he introduces the horse to his friends, the cardinal bird, coyote, and all the animals that are in the Southwest where Tohono O'odham Park is located. And then they talk about how the horse can do a great many things, and the lizard, Wigapoo is his name, introduces him to Cowboy Jose, who teaches the pony how to be a rodeo horse. And he's a grand champion rodeo horse and a grand champion cowboy. Now, after we read the story, we talk a little bit, and we go play I Spy around the park and see how many lizard we can find. And this is to help the children really understand the difference in the kind of lizards, the small ones, the big ones, and what they're called. The children are usually preschoolers and really catch on fast, and they can learn things and the names of the lizards very quickly. And that's what I do with all my stories and books.
Okay. So really, for each of your stories, you have already actually gone through a presentation in your role there at the park of with kids, and you can see how they react, and you can see how certain things they are attracted to. So when you write the story, it's like you've already sort of gotten into their imagination in a way.
Exactly. And very often, depending on the age of most of the children, we work on a story together. I think it's very important for the children to learn how to tell a story and to learn what a story means. So I have them close their eyes and think about something like an ant or Wigapoo, the lizard, and then I start the story off for them with Once Upon a Time, and I ask each one what the lizard is doing. And when one finishes, we go to the other, and the next one, and the next one, and we put together a story together.
Okay. That's terrific. And I happen to know that when you take your narratives of the story, that you work very closely with your illustrator, and almost like letting your illustrator know what should be on that page based on that verbiage, right?
I have a very good illustrator in David, and he can almost read my mind now when I tell him what I'm trying to do and what I want the animals to look like and what they're going to do. He's really excellent.
Right. You know, that sort of gets us into sort of a broader view, okay, because many of our listeners certainly have had kids or been around kids and you know, maybe they're grown up and out of the house now. But at the same time, the way you go about understanding your reader, if you will, and understanding how to get them involved in visualizing the story and going places that they haven't been, could be the same approach that we can take in trying to inspire the imagination of adults. Because believe it or not, you know, research says some of us have more parts of the brain that allows us to imagine things or think, you know, and plan further than others. So this same approach of trying to get them involved in getting from maybe a situation or a circumstance to another place could be used. Now, I know that in your background, you have been a very successful real estate executive, okay? And I know that you've had people that you've coached and that you've moved to do the things that would help you and your firm be successful. How would you see that analogy between, you know, the children and writing their stories and maybe grown folk like us using our understanding to help others be more imaginative?
Oh, absolutely. In my real estate business, which has to do with offices and shops and things of that sort, vacant land and how people build things, it's very important to help people imagine what things will look like, to imagine who's going to sit where, what kind of technical equipment they're going to need, where it should be put, and who should it be near. So these things are very important. And as a matter of fact, I have completed one grown-up book called Charlie's Tale, which includes a lot of imagination and stories about the different places that the protagonist goes to find the answers that he is looking for.
Well, terrific. Yeah, that's great. Now, how would you describe your source of imagination? You've done a lot of things. You've been very successful. I know you're a painter along with the writer and sculptor. What inspires you or what have inspired you to do all the things that you've done, Anne?
I believe imagination comes to you at different times. When you're sitting still looking at a flower, you can imagine what might happen with it. If you see a little animal or a deer or something like that, you can imagine where they've been and where they might be going and what they've met on the way. So these are the kinds of things that happen. With a sculpture, I do more abstract rather than real-life things because shapes interest me. And putting the various shapes together, for instance, in a human body, I believe the human body is one of the most beautiful and beautifully shaped things that has ever been made. And you can see all kinds of different forms in it. So these are the things that interest me.
Very good. Right now, you've got four, I believe, children's books in your Grandma Annie's Stories from the Garden series, and you mentioned
your young youth book are more imaginative as Charlie's Tale, what could we expect from Ann Anovich in the future in terms of your literary work?
Well, first of all, I'd like to get my book spread a little more. I'm going to visit the local libraries and the school districts. The children's books have been very well accepted by teachers that I've spoken with, and I also use them mm-hmm. when I'm tutoring first and second graders. So that's been very good. I have three more books for children that I'd like to do, and two more adult books, grown-up books. So it will take time, but once you sit down and actually start, it kind of rolls off your hands and rolls off your mind. The hard part is to actually sit down and start doing it. And the best way I find is to start with an outline, so I have a beginning, a middle, and an end. So that's what I do.
That's terrific, and I hope you don't mind. I can share with our listeners who have heard your interview here tonight, you know, who may be saying, I don't have the time, or I'm retired and I don't know how to get started. It's too late for me. Share with my listeners that you are a wonderful age, and I just enjoy being with you, and I just hope that if I'm given the kind of long life that you had at some point, I will be just as energetic as you are and being able to share with our audience. I can't believe we're out of time already and for the interview, but we're going to have time and have the opportunity to talk more about you and the power of imagination and your work doing your actual show. Thanks so much for being with us and taping this. And thank you for having the time to speak with us and continue your inspiring work.
Thank you so much, Earl. And I look forward to speaking with some of the people that will be calling in.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so we are so glad to have Ann Anovich in the studio with us tonight. Ann, welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
And how are you today?
Oh, absolutely wonderful. It's so good to reconnect with you. I'm going to say that, you know, from your interview, and it is clear that you are a person that is skilled in many art forms and that you use your imagination to create your work. So one of my questions is, I think this is on the minds of many people, do you think it's possible to have art without imagination?
No. I think imagination comes first.
Okay. And
all kinds of forms of art and thinking. I think you have to imagine first.
And think it through.
Yes.
And see what direction
you're going.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah. Ah, good point.
You know, talking about thinking, you know, Albert Einstein, I recall, once said that the true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination. So,
And unfortunately, I think our schools don't put enough attention to that. I think they're too structured and don't give young people enough chance to use and develop their imagination.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, why is that the case? You know what I mean? You think about the – certainly I know in our nation's school systems there are a lot of issues, but also there's a lot of good schools, you know, just the way our school system is organized. Why do you think we don't do more to sort of activate, if you
mm-hmm.
will, the students' imagination?
Right.
Is the fact that the teachers have not been trained or the teachers – are being focused on passing tests or other things versus valuing getting the student to think?
Well, I think there is so much to learn these days. And mm-hmm. in order to learn a particular subject, it's very structured. And there's very little leeway to include free thinking, which leads to imagination. I wish there were. I wish that each structured day could have a little bit of time for people to do that. That's where Facebook came from. That's where computers came from. I mean, all of these things that we have today really came from the chance of people to use their imagination.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, Anne, I know that, I mean, I don't need Einstein to tell me that imagination walks, you know, hand in hand with creativity. And for me, you know, working with you and reading Charlie's Tale, you introduced me to those butterfly people and the talking fish. Right? So,
yeah.
So talk a little bit about, you know, because this is about inspiring with imagination, talk a little bit about how you get inspired to really to give us something like Charlie's Tale and all the imagination that was in that book.
Well, everybody, I think, once in a while has a minute to think about life in general. And questions come up to people within themselves. What does this mean? What does that mean? Why am I here? Why did so-and-so pass away? That kind of thing. And these questions come up, and if you have a little bit of time to think about a particular question and start developing it, you might be able to come up with something like Charlie. Mm-hmm. Or any kind of book, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Even a short paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we've got quite a few comments coming in through the social media here. Why don't we try to take a couple of those before we run out of time?
Okay.
Here's one from Anna P. on Facebook that sort of gets into what we're talking about now. She says, I think that imagination could be considered a tool we use to gather knowledge. Interesting.
I think it's more than that. I think that you have to take that knowledge and swirl it around in your mind and imagine which way, what can happen with that piece of knowledge. So it's connected, absolutely, but you have to do something with it.
You know, for example, you know, being a technologist, you know, I've been following him very close to the, you know, to the technology revolution over the past 40 years. But when you really dig into that revolution, there was basic things that were established, right, over the prior decades of research and development, you know, integrated circuitry, a lot of things. And when, you know, the last 20 or 25 years, actors like, you know, Facebook and a lot of the social media people were just able to build upon things that had already been established. You know, I mean, if you look at
absolutely.
They're utilizing things that have already been established. So the idea of using your imagination to get from here to there, of course, is combined with other people thinking of what smaller parts or parts that aren't connected, and now your imagination is able to connect things. That makes sense?
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. My older son is a geologist, and we talk from time to time about things like that, and we talked one time about sand, and he takes rocks apart and sees what he can make out of the minerals in the rocks. And he, you know, and he was telling me that these chips that are in everything, electronic chips that have gotten smaller and smaller, they could do that because they could take a grains of sand and do it with a grain of sand. So it's the same sort of thing.
Right, exactly, right. Yeah. Here's a comment, Charlotte, that takes it a little different twist. This is from Don from our Richer Life blog. Don says, isn't it ironic that what is considered imagination to some people may well be reality to others? For example, an atheist, well, to an atheist, religion is a mere product of human imagination. What's your thoughts? That's an interesting...
That's a big question. I think that you have to imagine many things. If you compare the Bible to Darwinism, for instance, if you really compare, they're saying the same thing. Why does Adam have to look like a human being? He might have been an amoeba, and he might have been one and divided in two by the way amoebas do. You have Adam and Eve. So it's that sort of thing.
Right.
Well, it's also what you were doing with Charlie's Tale, I think, and what we were talking about in terms of knowledge in the schools, which is imagination often explains reality, right?
Yes.
It answers some of those questions that are too big for us without imagination, right?
Yes, but I am often fearful that they don't leave a wide enough door that they take these explanations and put a period after them. And I don't think they should.
Very good.
That's interesting.
Well said, Anne. Well said.
Yeah.
Earl, do we have time for the Twitter comment? There's a comment from Nancy on Twitter.
Okay.
Nancy on Twitter writes, she says, I've always felt that imagination can help make sense of the world and help organize my thoughts about the natural world and explain reasons for our human existence. I wonder if anyone else has this perspective. Well, Nancy, yes, we do.
We do, and I think a lot of people do, because we all know that animals speak to each other, plants speak to each other. And, so just because we don't know and we don't understand the way whales talk to each other doesn't mean that they don't. It's there.
That is good.
Well said.
Good. You know, it looks like we're concluding here that if we can figure out a way to stimulate everyone's imagination, we'll get out of some of these silos and some of this narrow thinking, and we'll all be colliding, with big thoughts, right?
Right. I hope everybody enjoys working and writing, and take a chance anyway. Sit down for an hour or so and think about something you can put down on paper.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time. What do you want to leave the audience with here tonight, Anne? It's your show.
That age has nothing to do with it. Tomorrow I will be 83 years old. And I'm still doing all these things. So I encourage you, especially if you're retired, you've got time to do it.
Well, you got it.
Lovely.
You heard it here.
Thank you for inspiring us with your imagination.
That's right. And Charlotte, it looks like we are just about out of time for tonight's show.
Thank you.
Yes, we are. Thank you so much, Anne. And I'm Charlotte Grant Cobb, and I thank you for tuning in to Life Changing Talk Radio.
And I'm Earl Cobb, and I ask you to remember to join us again next Thursday night as we present another one of those special people, like Anne, who inspires all of us.
You've been listening to Living a Richer Life with Earl and Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back again at the same time next Thursday.